Hi, welcome to this episode of the Innovation Exchange podcast with me, Dr. Hassan Jahan. Today, we'll be dedicating this podcast to hacks, hints, and tips for health sector innovators on how to win grant funding, i.e. get at the money. We know that a significant clinical feasibility and industrial research needed to validate great ideas can get pretty expensive for the innovators out there, and so financial support is essential. This can often be obtained through grants from the UK Research and Innovations Research Council, the National Institute for Health Research, NHSX, and other bodies such as the Health Foundation, and many, many others. The UK government's put research and innovation at the heart of its industrial strategy, setting an ambition for the UK to become the most innovative country in the world and increase its total R&D expenditure by 2027 to 2.4%. That equates to billions of pounds in state aids. So what are the hacks, hints, and tips that can help maximise your chances of winning this funding? Today, I'm joined by Kevin Brooks, who's an experienced bid writer and funding expert. Kevin works closely with Wessex AHSN, and he's going to divulge some of the secrets of his trade to help listeners out there bring in some of the money. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Kevin, could we perhaps start by you telling us a bit more about your background and what it is you do?
Yes. So for the last 30 odd years, I've been in and around supporting organisations to go for funding opportunities in one way or another. Over the last four, almost 5 years now, I've supported academic health science networks, and particularly, as say, the Wessex AHSN with their funding support service. So that's the current role that I have.
Oh, and have you been doing that for a while? Is that
so? We started back in 2015 as an idea that actually it might be something that businesses would be interested in, which someone to be able to take a company's first draft application form and to check through it, provide that sort of all important second pair of eyes to find where there might be gaps or maybe questions aren't being answered completely, and therefore, you know, the whole service is about optimizing the chances of those businesses winning the funding. And these businesses specifically, obviously, are being in the health arena.
I see. So it sort of came about from people not understanding the criteria or the regulations around funding.
They can be very complicated, and also it's something. So I'm a jobbing bid writer. I've been doing this a long time. So I know what to look for, where the kind of pitfalls are. And so I try and put myself in the funder's shoes. I understand the funding round that is being applied for. And so I kind of look at the application from a distance, whereas, of course, a lot of the people that put the applications together, a lot of these businesses, very close to the piece of work they're pulling together. So sometimes just missing some of the nuances of what the funder is actually looking for. And I can kind of help fill those gaps.
I guess hopefully listening to this podcast will be some innovators, but there'll also be people out there that are intrigued or interested. So for some of them out there, particularly the non-health innovators, I guess. Could you give us a flavour of the sorts of grants that people can have access to?
Yes. So there are a whole series of grants through Innovate UK. So if you're looking at commercial health opportunities and competitions, which would then lead to you winning, hopefully, significant grant funding for your company, there is Innovate UK, and they have a number of rounds. But if you're looking more towards funding streams for businesses in the more of the health world, you do have the NIHR, for instance. They have a program which includes I4I Connect. It includes product development awards, and it also includes real-world implementation. So those three grant competitions come around every year, and some of them repeat, particularly the product development awards, which means that companies have the opportunity to bid in for funding, which will allow them to go for projects which have to be exploited in the NHS in the first instance, but then could also be exploited in other health systems. So these are, you know, quite significant grants that come through there. And there are a lot of others as well, from the Health Foundation to the Wellcome Trust to the other UCRI, so it's UK Research and Innovation Councils. So that includes the Medical Research Council, BBSRC, etc. So you have an opportunity there to apply for quite a wide range of different grants. The key is to be able to look at that funding landscape and decide where you need to go. What is the funder that actually will bring you the money that you have a project that can actually deliver against that funder's need, and then will bring that money back into your organization. And so knowing that landscape is also something that is important in terms of delivering the service that I provide, which means that, you know, if you have an innovator coming to you saying, I got this great idea, but how do I get funding and where do I go? That's part of my job, is to do that horizon scanning and to match up what it is that they do to the funding stream that's out there.
So we know a little bit about the types of grants out there, don't we now? And I suppose people out there want to hear about the hacks, hints and tips. So if there's somebody out there thinking about going for one of these grants, are there any first steps you think they should consider before jumping straight into writing an application?
Yes. As I say, I've been doing this a long time. I think the thing that I've noticed most of all is where grants are successful, the applicant has spent some time at the beginning really thinking about their project and kind of testing it to destruction. By that, I mean, you know, they've got a great idea. They think it's a goer. But if they've tested that with a kind of proto team, people around them who potentially could help them to deliver it, and they've looked at the idea and they still think it's a good thing, that sounds like that might be a goer, that one. But also, they can then take that idea and test that with, let's say, academic health science networks. So academic health science networks have health innovation surgeries. And so you could take your idea to the surgery, and that surgery is made up of a panel of experts from the NHS. You will have a funding expert there, and you will have other commercial experts around the table as well, often in these health innovation surgeries. And they can help you walk through your idea and check that this is something which would be, A, that it's grant ready or bid ready so that you could take it to the next stage, but also, is it something that actually the NHS might actually want to have? So it's one of those tests that are available out there through these health innovation surgeries. And you can also go to other support organizations which are in the landscape as well to check your idea. There are these things called catapults, and there are a number of health related catapults. So if your idea fits with that, you could go and test your idea with them as well. And of course, universities. So universities, again, if you've got a great idea and you need to have probably a research partner on board, you could go to a university. And again, you can show them your idea, you can talk to them about it, they can help you decide, well, actually, is this a goer or not? So I think that initial stage up front, where you test the idea before you go for grant funding, is very important. Because the thing to remember when you go for grant funding is, well, let's say it's going to take you 40 to 60 hours to put a grant application together. Then you need to think about, well, what's your hourly rate? So whatever your hourly rate is, times by 40 or 60, gives you a cost that it's going to take for you to get that application done and in. So you want to make sure that what you're putting in is something that actually can win. And by doing all that work up front really does make a difference. And you can, and I say, the winning applications are the ones that have done that piece of work.
Kevin, you mentioned proto teams. What are they?
Well, at the beginning of the process of putting the application together, you will probably be in a situation where you have a group of people around you that potentially could become part of that team that will help you to deliver the grant. So that group of individuals, I would call your proto team. These are the people before the full team that you need to deliver your project has been put together. Now, and I'm thinking here mostly of small to medium enterprises, for instance, where you might just have a few people together, but you may well have, when you've developed your project, engaged with some others outside your organization that potentially could become partners on a consortium. That initial group of people can look at the idea that you have come up with. They provide a form of a road test for that idea. So that's an opportunity for them to look at the idea and to actually say to you, right, well, this is good, and I can understand that, and I can understand why you're saying that, and these are things you might want to reconsider, change, do a bit more research on. So that's a form of a first pair of eyes rather than a second pair of eyes on your idea before you get to the stage where you go to put your bid together and apply for the funding. And again, what that does, it strengthens the offer that you're putting forward.
I see. And just interested, because you sort of mentioned the 40-60 hours, for a decent application, that's the sort of time you should be spending?
Well, I say I do this day in, day out. I'd say it takes me 40 hours to put together an Innovate UK grant. If anyone's done European funding before, you know that that's probably a significant underestimation of time that you would need to put a European grant together. You're probably looking towards the 60 hours in terms of putting that together, because of the often these are many partners, various countries, and it takes quite a while to put together. Innovate UK have their own Eureka call, for instance, where, again, that's working with partners abroad. And that can well, therefore, take much longer to put this together, because you're working on a larger group of people. But yeah, so if you were doing, let's say, a smart grant for Innovate UK, which, again, health companies can apply for, that's at least 40 hours work to get that right. So we're talking about 10 questions, 400 words under each of those questions, 4 appendices that go along with it. And then there's a whole raft of financial information that gets put online directly. That work will take at least 40 hours to put together.
Wow, it all stacks up a bit, doesn't it? If you're doing several applications, so you got to know what you're writing, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So given that there's all these different funders, how critical do you think it is to know more information about the funder themselves before you actually put in an application?
I think that's crucial. The reason that you need to know the funder is because the funder is there for a reason. The funder exists because there is an issue that they want to resolve, whatever that issue might be. And it might be multiple issues. So in the case of Innovate UK again, or NIHR funding, there are a whole variety of funding streams, different competitions, etc. But each of those streams will be linked to whatever the overarching organization is there to do. So understanding that organization is vital in terms of your understanding how you should be addressing your application, how you should be putting it together, the themes that it needs to deliver. I've seen on many occasions people with great ideas trying to apply them to a funding competition that actually it's a bit like banging a square peg into a round hole. That is therefore a waste of everybody's time. So understanding what the funder needs, what is the issue they're trying to address? Can you, through the project you're developing, address that issue? Because at the end of the day, that's all the funder is interested in. Can you resolve their problem or problems? They really don't care whether you think your project is the next great thing. They care about, does your project resolve the problem they have?
I see. And that all starts to make sense, doesn't it? So, Kevin, who actually ends up then marking these forms? What's the process there?
Well, this is a general process. But if you take the UK Research Innovation sort of Innovate UK type approach, it's in a number of stages. So the first one is they will check, is your project in scope? This sounds like common senseology, but believe me, there are plenty of people that put projects forward in the first instance where you think, well, actually, I can't see how this fits their scope. I mean, many people obviously get this right first time around, but there are occasionally people that are putting in projects where that doesn't quite fit. And if there isn't absolute fit with the scope, then it won't go any further than that. That's kind of your first hoop that you have to jump through. And something like Innovate UK, or again, any of the UKRI ones or NIHR, you just need to look at their competition applications, and they will set out the scope for you in quite some detail. So what you need to make sure is, can your project meet that? So that's the first thing. The next thing, if you get through scope, is that your application goes in front of the assessors. So again, Innovate UK is an example, but again, not uncommon across the funding landscape. You would have 5 assessors. So these 5 assessors have an expertise in the area of your project, and they will look at your application and they will score it. So in Innovate UK's case, they have 10 questions, they mark them out of 10, then the scores are averaged at the end across the 5 assessors. And that ultimate overall score gives you the opportunity to either move forward into the fundable zone, which is the kind of next stage, or it means that you fall away by the wayside because you just simply haven't scored enough points at that moment. So if you have got through the five assessors and you're out the other side, you then have the opportunity to either go to an interview, which is quite common with most of these processes. You know, potentially you are now fundable, but they just need to double check whether or not this is a good thing. And then from the interview, which will also be scored in some way, there will be a decision about who then can move forward into portfolio mix. So portfolio mix is where you've now got to a point where you really could potentially be fundable. But there might be many more projects than actually can be afforded with inside the envelope of the competition. So now they have to make a decision about which ones of these projects will now go forward. And that's called portfolio mix. And that's been done in European funding for a very, very long time. If you get through portfolio mix, then what happens is you're told that, you know, that nigh on you're going to get the cash, but now you need to go to a due diligence meeting just to check your books. Because things like Innovate UK, it's not the same for everything like this, but there still would be a due diligence meeting. But Innovate UK would want to know that, for instance, you have your 30% match funding, at least the 30% match funding, because with Innovate UK, with feasibility and industrial research projects, they can give you up to 70% of public funding. So the due diligence meeting is making sure that you have your 30% plus other things as well. They will ask you questions like, who's your project manager? What's their experience? Because obviously they want to make sure that the project is managed. And this is not uncommon, as I say, across funders. Those are the processes, the hoops that you have to go through to get the money.
That's quite a lot of hoops, isn't it, Kevin? I mean,
it is.
Just listening to you describing that process gets me confused. And so I suspect innovators out there are kind of used to it. But is there somewhere they can go to where this is mapped out, or is it different for each funder?
Well, each funder will always set out what their assessment process is. And they give you also a timeline when you should expect to get a decision on that. And it's all mapped out very clearly in terms of the various different hoops you need to go through. But yes, I mean, although the Innovate UK process is reasonably common, you always need to check against that assessment criteria. And as I say, that is always set out in the guidance that they provide.
So Kevin, it sounds like you've been involved quite a lot in checking and editing application forms. So are there things that people keep getting wrong or keep coming up time and time again? Have you got any hints for people to avoid making these mistakes?
Yes. I mean, one of the things that certainly comes up quite often is not answering the question that is set. So people do make a good fist at trying to answer the question, but often you find that there are issues with actually answering the whole question. So something like Innovate UK, for instance, they will take a question and they will break that question down into sub-questions. So there's a main heading question, and then there's a series of bullet points underneath. The expectation is that you will answer those bullet points. And again, other funders follow very similar patterns. And what you find is that sometimes you get people who put in application forms and only actually complete some of those, because those are the ones they feel that they can answer. The problem they've got is, in many cases, the funder will have a scoring matrix, which will help them to decide what score to give. And so these bullet points are set out, so you can imagine that with inside the scoring matrix will be those bullet points. So it's important that they try to answer as many of those as possible. One of the things that we try to resolve through the funding support service is that we provide that second pair of eyes, that all important review of the application, so that we can pick up for those applicants where they're not answering those bullet points, and then trying to give them a guide as to what they might want to be addressing in those. So I'd say that was one of the things that comes up time and time again, is missing answering that question completely. And the more complete they answer that question, more completely they answer it, the higher their score is likely to be.
Well, there's some useful hints there from a man with experience. So Kevin, I've been doing a bit of reading about this as well, and it seems that for many innovators out there, they need to often provide a contribution towards the overall cost of a project. Is that always the case? Do you always have to provide some match funding?
Where it's public funding from a commercial angle, often, and it's a grant, then you often have to provide match funding. So with Innovate UK, for instance, you have to provide that 30% I mentioned a moment ago. But there are other competitions out there called Small Business Research Initiatives. And the AHSNs run an SBRI healthcare competition, usually twice a year, and that's 100% funding. So that no match funding is required into those competitions. And there are a number of SBRI health-related, or at least health-friendly, if you like, pots out there that companies can apply into. So grants, usually, yes, some form of match funding, and certainly in Innovate UK's case, that has to be in cash. And that's because there are European funding rules, which we adhere to. And that means that, and this is related to competition rules, which means that the companies are supposed to put a certain amount of money in themselves against the public funding that's provided. But there are these other competitions. So it's you always need to look at each of them and decide which one you can go for and decide, you know, in terms of the match fund, whether that's actually something that you can afford to do, or you need to cut your cloth in terms of the overall total project cost against the 30% that you can raise.
I suppose that's fair enough. And I mean, is there a concept of angel investors? Is there a bank of people somewhere sitting in a makeshift Dragon's Den office thinking of lending money?
Well, there is the British Business Bank. The British Business Bank is an umbrella organisation, lots of public money within it, but it's an organisation of various different funders from investor groups to high street banks. And it was developed and designed to help particularly small to medium enterprises to be able to access finance. Over and above that, there are angel investment groups as well. And each company will probably find, if they Google, an angel investor group in their area. And there are a significant number of them based in London that people can access as well. Various different forms of funding other than grants.
And so they can go somewhere if they're desperate. So Kevin, you're out there supporting innovators through the funding support service. And we've talked about, you know, the possibility of other investors and other support. But are there any other agencies that people can go to for support with either not funding per se, but maybe with help with a form or help with legal processes, I guess?
Yes, there are a number of organizations out there that are available for businesses to access. So there's a knowledge transfer network, for instance. So if you write your application for an Innovate UK competition, and as long as you do it in very good time, the knowledge transfer network is there to support with that second pair of eyes checking as well. But they are a national service. So being able to access that kind of service, you do need to make sure you get your grant in quite smartish in terms of giving them the opportunity to look through it. There are other organisations as well, like the Enterprise Europe Network, who also are an Innovate UK body and also can provide that type of service. And there are various different support organisations out there, from universities to the catapults, that again could support you in the development of your application and, of course, can partner with you on your application as well, which in turn will strengthen the bid that you put in.
And so where do we come in? What about the Innovation Exchange? We've got a funding section that you contribute to, yes?
Yes, that's right. So every month I produce a national funding support service newsletter that goes out across the HSN network. And that's all the up-to-date funding opportunities that you as a business can access. And that information is also on the Innovation Exchange for companies to view. But it goes out via each AHSN to their mailing list.
Kevin, this has been a really useful conversation. I'm sure there's innovators out there that will be thinking, great stuff, really lots of useful information. Have you got any final thoughts on what innovators can do to find out more information about funding opportunities available to them?
Well, one of the things they could do is go on to the UK Research and Innovations website, where they are starting to corral together various different funding opportunities businesses can go for. Also, find out which research council you're particularly interested in working with. There are a whole number of research councils. Go on their mailing list. If you're interested in Health Foundation funding, go on their mailing list. And that way you ensure that you're building up a kind of early warning system of grants that are available, which you might want to go for. Because the earlier you can apply, giving yourself as much time as possible to apply will improve your chances of winning.
Kevin, thank you. It sounds like you've got really a wealth of knowledge and experience in this field. So it's really great to be able to get some time to talk to you about it. And hopefully it'll help out some of the innovators out there. There might be people listening to this that think, oh, do you know what? I've got this burning question. I'd really like to get in touch. How do they get in touch with you, Kevin? Is that possible?
Yes. So it is possible through the Wessex Academic Health Science Network. So if people wanted to get a hold of me, they could go through the information line that the Wessex HSN provide.
If you're an innovator looking for support to get your innovation into the NHS, find out how the AHSN network can help you via the Innovation Exchange on ahsnnetwork.com.